this.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felgert mask.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Up 4:03 in the afternoon here on a Friday, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges. They don't, planetfitness.com. We're now joined in our Town Fair Tire Studios, where we are, as we are every Friday at this hour, by Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe. He's brought to you by MGH. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing? Well,
I'm doing okay.
Let's start with this.
Yeah, sure. Is it still an ambush if you know you're walking into it?
I guess
technically that's not an ambush.
No, it's not an ambush.
Yeah, because if you know you're walking into
it. That is a nice cashmere scarf that you have.
What are all these preconceived notions? I haven't asked the question yet.
Is that Burberry cologne that I smell?
Or is it Dolce Gabbana belt? Mm. Like, what do you?
Well, you tell me, Mike. You invented it, right?
How come your scarf has a little BB on it? What is that?
Chris, do you believe that Malcolm Butler's poor play this year in Tennessee justifies Bill Belichick in benching Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl last year?
Yes. I think it makes it look more presentable. It makes it look more acceptable. I don't see how you could not look at it and say that it reframes the decision, puts it in a different context. And by the way, you're saying this year, as in if this did not take place last year in the playoffs, which it did, because I went back and looked at the film. The double move that Corey Davis beat him on, eerily similar to the double move he just gave up to Allen Hurns. He gave up two touchdowns in that game against Tennessee. There's another game, the eye discipline issues that Vrabel mentioned. You know, he's not playing technique. He's peeking at the quarterback. When you don't look at your guy, you tend to get beat. AFC Championship game, Marquise Lee on a crosser that kind of similar to the Nelson Aguilar play that I know my good buddy Jim is certain that Butler would have made the tackle on. Not only was Butler looking at the quarterback and did he lose Lee, he then couldn't catch up to Lee, didn't tackle him, and Lee got 8 more yards. So I think that given Bill's history, and look, I felt the same way you all felt and that everybody felt after the Super Bowl, but given Bill's history of being able to identify when a guy is in decline before the rest of us see it, and I've seen that happen before many times, and the way that Butler played in the playoffs,
so we're not talking
and how
about
it's continued in the regular season.
We're not talking about the contract.
I think about it differently.
We're talking about the game.
No, I understand, but I'm saying I think there's a chance that Bill looked at the way he was playing in the postseason, saw it coming, and said, iceberg ahead, I'm going to avoid this.
So, but again, that suggests that Bademosi, and I throw Jordan Richards on there, I understand he's a safety.
Sure.
Were better choices than that. Butler never should have gotten off the sideline.
So let me correct you on one thing. So Jordan Richards played a third of the snaps against Tennessee when Butler played 100% of the snaps. So the idea that it's Richards or Butler is not correct.
Yeah.
Bademosi did play 10 snaps in the Super Bowl. Those 10 snaps could have gone, obviously, to Malcolm Butler. But Richards, that style of offense, they played that style of offense to open the season against Kansas City. Butler played all the snaps. Richards was still out there. So Richards was going to be out there regardless.
Okay, so let's just keep it to Bademosi. Do you think Bademosi's a better player than Butler?
Last year at that time, given the issues that Butler was having, I can understand the decision.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can't understand not going to him at all. And that's where I get off, you know, with the theory. Now, everything else in terms of the contract and everything?
Sure, yeah.
Fine. So a guy you play 99% of the snaps all year long, you get to the Super Bowl and you can't put him into a game when you're getting smoked?
So I do agree with it. Here's what I'll say, and I said in the column too. You certainly can say, and look, did Belichick do everything possible to win? Did he throw it out there and say, hey, will lightning strike again for Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? Nope, he didn't. And you can absolutely fault him for that. But here's my question. Even if they had won the game, you could still say Bill didn't do absolutely everything he should have done to pursue victory. So for me, this whole thing is a false pretense. It's not really about Bill didn't do everything to win. It's if you're criticizing this decision, and I did it too, it really means you think they would have won the game if Butler had played.
No.
It does. There's no other reason to talk about it.
No, that's not true.
Because if they had won the game, no one would care that Butler didn't play.
No. There's a tremendous story there.
At least not 9 months later, they wouldn't care.
I mean, and I'm not rooting for or against. That's not my interest. My interest is the story. There's a reason non-football that Bill Belichick held this player off the field?
Well, you guys know more about that than I do. You keep sort of alluding to something.
No, I don't.
Not saying it, so
I don't.
I don't know what the non-football reason is.
Me neither. But how could it possibly? Then why not deactivate him? Why do you have him in uniform?
What if you have injuries?
What if you can't stop a nosebleed and are about to give up 50 points to a backup quarterback? It's the same thing.
Well, who's to say he wouldn't have gone in there and given up the same plays he's given up this year when he's been the worst corner in the league?
He might have. I can't predict the future. I'm not saying you would have guaranteed have won that game. I've never said that. He didn't empty the bucket to win it. He activated, this is a dereliction of coaching duties, to activate a player and have him in uniform, have him take up one of those 45, 46 spots on game day, which you know they treat like gold, and you don't play him? Oh my God, what a waste. What, you've just hurt your football team in the most important game of the year by putting someone in uniform you're not going to use. That's insanely stupid. Not stupid, that is derelict.
But would we still be talking about it if they had won?
Yes, I would have, for sure.
9 months later?
Yes, of course.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, there's absolutely no way.
It's a bigger
story.
You would
still be talking about it 9 months later if they had won the game.
Of course I would.
It's not really about Bill not doing everything he could have
to
win the game. It's about the fact they lost. And people feel like if Butler had played, they would have won. That's what it's about.
Mostly bottom for fans, line. Not for
everything
me.
Else is pretense for some other complaint.
Not for me.
The bottom line is people are convinced if Butler had played, they would have won. Chris, and they're mad because the team lost.
Chris, do you think if Butler had signed that they would have sat him in the Super Bowl?
Had signed? If he had played.
If he
had been playing the way he played. Remember, he had gotten benched earlier in the year against the Saints. If he had played the way he played last year and the way he was playing in the postseason. And I read Jeff Howe's story today. And even Butler said, you know, when asked about it, focus and performance were the reasons he said he thought he was benched. So if it was the same situation with lack of focus and lack of performance, yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't. I think there's no way. I think by that point, Bill was ready to stick it to him.
If Bill had a good relationship with the player, you think he would have done that to him?
No way.
Oh, Chris, come on.
I mean, if he thought he was a liability, look, there's two things I know from following Belichick. You know what he doesn't like? Guys who don't play the right technique and give up big plays. That's what Butler is. That's what he was at the end of the year. We've saw it with the Jamie Collins thing. I've had people over there tell me, Bill would rather lose with a lesser talented player that does what he's supposed to do than some guy that's going to be out there freelancing,
but
not playing it correctly and guessing.
But Chris, once you're now 30, 40 minutes into a football game, and those personnel that you have out there is not doing it, and then you have another thing at your disposal here that you could use, no guarantee that it works, but what you have out there isn't working. It's obvious.
Sure.
And you don't go to it. Oh, come on. You can't support that. You can't
I'm saying, did he do everything he could have done to win the game? No, he didn't.
Well, that's what I'm interested in.
Criticize him. You know, you can criticize him for that, but I feel like that's not the real criticism.
Because, it is. For me, it is.
Because that criticism would have applied whether they won or lost.
And I'd still do it.
But like, it's really more about you think Butler would have changed the outcome.
Not. How many times have I to tell you? You think I'm that guy? I'm not torn up over when the Patriots win or lose. I'm not that guy. I'm not invested like a fan. I'm invested in this role. And so it's to me, that's a story. There's a story there.
Chris, it changes the discussion, but
there's something wrong about it.
It doesn't change the mistake. In other words, if they win the game,
yeah.
Well, then we're talking about Brady and 6 Super Bowls, and of course.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make the decision any better.
I agree. That's my point, but no one would care, Mads. You guys wouldn't be talking about it. Nobody would be calling about it.
Okay, so look, I can't predict what we would have talked, you know, whether people would have talked. I'm just telling you that the mistake was still there. The mistake was still there. And the sentence in the column that drives me bananas. Given Butler's struggles in his new surroundings, Belichick's decision not only looks more presentable, it looks more prescient. So this means that, like, and you use the analogy of a carton of milk reaching an expiration date.
Yeah.
So Malcolm Butler's done? Like, but because he was playing poorly in the playoffs, and now he's playing poorly still, that's it. He's done. It's over. He'll never be good again.
It doesn't look like he's the same player, does it?
Okay, but see, A, I don't agree with that, and B, I also think that Belichick coaches guys differently than other people do.
Well, is the defense he's in now wildly different from the defense he played in New England with Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease? There's no commonality in terms of technique or philosophy.
Okay, but so
it's not like he went from here to Atlanta to play in Dan Quinn's Seahawks style defense. There's a reason they were interested in him.
They thought
it would translate. Is it not a similar defense?
Yeah, but then Belichick is irrelevant. It's a system, and it's not the coach. Like so the coach isn't going to get more out of Butler than Vrabel would have or Dean Pease would have, Belichick.
Not if he's not going to play the technique and if he's going to peek into the backfield and get, you know, bite on double moves. Yeah, I mean, how much more is he going to get out of him?
Yeah, I just don't agree with the idea that Butler was a lost cause and it's over and he's done and that's it. And Bill saw it coming in. That line of demarcation was right there in the postseason. That's when Malcolm Butler's
career ended. Happening at the end of the AFC Championship game? Was Butler in coverage or were they bringing him on blitzes? What were they doing with him?
And
they were bringing him on blitzes. And I know Bedard said this to you guys last year at the time. He said, you see what was going on with Butler at the end of that game? They didn't even have him in coverage. They're bringing him on blitzes.
Then Bill did a horrible coaching job all year playing him as much as he did.
Horrible.
So there's never a scenario where a guy is a starter, he's playing and not necessarily playing well, and then he gets benched? Because when I covered team, that happened to Adalys Thomas and Sean Springs, two guys that were starting, and suddenly, not only, they were worse than Butler, they went from starting to inactive for games. Okay. So Bill's never taken a guy that was starting
I think
and
you're
then
talking
made him
about,
inactive
was
the
that,
next week.
Was that the week when they all showed up late with Randy Moss?
No.
Was that another week?
It was another week. I mean, Sean Springs was not part of Lategate. He was not part of that.
If they had deactivated Malcolm Butler, you'd have I'd have much less of a story. I said that from day one. To use a game day roster spot on someone you're not going to play is absolutely negligent. It is absolutely, you are hurting your football team. If you don't want to play him for X, Y, and Z, your reasons, football reasons, off-field reasons, whatever they are.
Whatever the off-field reasons are, feel free to enlighten me.
Yeah, and I don't know what they are. I mean, we've all heard rumors, but I don't know what they are. But whatever the reason, it makes no difference. If you're not going to use the player, how can you possibly put him in uniform and take away a chance to have someone there who can help you? That is grotesque. That is grotesque. And the fact that he told him right before the game and they had him on the sidelines feels to me like he was just out to personally embarrass the kid.
Well, that part of it, I think there's some merit to. Was it handled the right way in terms of relaying the information to him? Now, the one thing I will say is that after the game, all those guys said they all knew that he was the third corner. He wasn't the number two corner in that game. They were going to use him as the third corner in that game. And they played a lot of nickel in that game with three safeties. So if he had played before, he would have played, but he wasn't going to start. So Eric Rowe said after, we knew he wasn't going to start. We didn't know that he wasn't going to play.
I have no problem with that.
But I'm just saying.
You throw the mix out there you think's going to work for whatever reason, but when you realize it's not working, and it didn't work for a second in that game. I mean, it didn't work for a second. To not use another guy at your disposal there just to see if it works? Even if they played Malcolm Butler for a series, it wouldn't be quite the case against Belichick because he tried something else, he tried to win, and it didn't work. Okay. But to not even put him out there? Oh, come on. Come on.
I just can't justify playing. Let's leave Richards out of it because, again, different position. Yeah. You're not the first one to say that.
Yeah.
I can't justify playing Johnson Badamosi ahead of Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I mean, Badamosi's
a special teams player. That's what
Badamosi was only out there for 10 snaps, though. It's not like he played the whole game.
10 more than Butler was.
That's true. Well, I mean, it's 10 more on defense. He did play on special teams. But yeah, you're right. And look, they tried. I look at that, and here's what I say, right? So go back to Super Bowl 49. The Patriots had a third corner who played 100% of the snaps in the AFC Championship game, Kyle Arrington. He plays against the Seahawks. Halfway through that game, he's terrible. They take him off the field. They bench him. They throw in Malcolm Butler.
Exactly.
This guy who's like a special teams guy that you haven't really heard of.
He didn't go from 99 to zero.
Hold on. That you haven't really heard of. They throw him out there. The guy plays great. I think they sort of were looking for the same thing with Badamosi. And instead of doing it halfway through the game, it was like, okay, we're going to do it from the start. Badamosi at least had really played like when Gilmore was hurt.
Right, but they never changed, Chris.
That's fair. But I'm just saying, it's not like Badamosi had never played defense. When Gilmore was hurt, he had really high snap counts in three straight games against the Jets, against Atlanta, and against the Chargers.
They were giving up 500 yards. What does it matter?
You're right. So when you say that immediately what you're saying is you're making my point, that if Butler was out there, they wouldn't have given up the 500 yards.
There was a reason to look for a change, and he never did it. Why? That's the story.
Because he thought the guy was a liability.
Yeah, and the guy out there on the field? Come on. Come on, let's pick this up on the other side with your calls.
Felger and Mez, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay off the weed. There are some reports where they're alluding to that was a possibility. So I'm not about to absolve Malcolm Butler. You brought in second and third stringers. Mm-hmm. While leaving Malcolm Butler on the bench for the Super Bowl. You got a championship on the line. Evidently, this brother was reliable enough over the course of 3 years where he just missed one start. Over the course of 3 years. But you're going to wait until Super Bowl Sunday to make this statement. Not to mention the fact, not only did you make the statement, but you made it right before the national anthem was played. Come on now. Bill Belichick, to me, is the greatest coach of this generation.
Yeah.
But to do something, this is
wait,
pure.
Time out,
this looks like pure evil.
Pure evil, and now Gasper supports it.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, I do not support the way the message was conveyed.
Your thoughts, our thoughts. We continue with this conversation. Let's bring in Connor in Hanson. Oh, I'm sorry, Connor. Hold on 1 second. I hit the wrong button. This is my fault. Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, two quick points. Jasper, the fact that you can't see why Felger would continue to talk about this regardless of the outcome shocks me, because Felger's going to talk about this until he's 100 years old no matter what happened in that game. And the other thing, the only thing that makes sense to me about the Butler thing is, Jasper, this is where I agree with you as well, is that he was definitely packing it in a little bit in the playoffs, wasn't playing well. Belichick obviously noticed that, and I think he was going to sit him in the first half to make a point, and I don't think Butler handled that very well, and he must have done something between the first quarter and halftime to really piss Belichick off, and he said, you know what, screw it, I'm sitting you the whole game. There's no way he would put his team on the line like that by having an activated player not play at all ahead of time. I think it had to have developed during the middle of the game.
Well, Steve, I mean, you better hope if you want to defend Belichick, because putting a player in uniform and taking up a game day roster spot when you're not going to use them is, again, negligent. It's like, that is putting your team, that is categorically, you know, putting your team at a disadvantage to win the game. You have one less player than the opponent. So if you want to defend Belichick, you got to hope that whatever happened, happened between the time they activated him and then. But even then, I'd say get the hell off the sideline.
But who would you have made active?
So they weren't carrying at the time an extra defensive back.
They were not.
That. But they had defensive backs on the practice squad, I believe.
Did they? Who was on there? Like David Jones, who actually just got released?
I don't know.
All I knew is I knew Alan Branch wasn't playing that day because I saw him at the food at the Chick-fil-A the day of the game, the food court at that terrible mall. And I was like, oh, I guess he's not playing. It was like right before the media bus left. So I'm like, well, Alan Branch is definitely not playing because he's loading up on Chick-fil-A here before we go to the stadium.
Well, here's the other thing. If they had people on the practice squad and Butler had been so bad for so long, why did they need him getting sick to make the decision?
You can't justify 99 snaps the game before and then zero this one.
Right. Like,
that is nonsensical.
You follow me? In other words,
if Bill was so out ahead of this, why wasn't he grooming someone else as an emergency replacement?
Exactly. Like, it felt, he just made the decision at the last minute.
Oh, it does kind of feel like that. I'm not going to disagree with that.
I mean, so, like, I look at that and say, well, wait a minute. If the guy was so bad in all of these games, then how weren't you more prepared for it? You know, and Butler was sick earlier in the week and missed the flight and all of that. So you waited until the last minute? Like, what's the logic there? To me, if they had been on better terms and Butler had been willing to play ball with them at the negotiating table, none of this would have happened.
Possibly, but the reality is, I mean, I think he had a very uneven year, and then he got to the end, and he was not good in those playoff games. I mean, he wasn't. Like, a lot of again, that's why I keep saying, like, you know, Bill saw, like, the tip of the iceberg, because the things that have happened for him this year were happening in those two playoff games. The lack of eye discipline, the getting beat on the double moves. And I'll say this, like, if you're going up against an offense that uses, you know, RPOs, if you have a cornerback that doesn't have eye discipline, like, that's the last thing you want out there. Some guy that's going to get caught staring into the backfield at the quarterback, you know, faking a handoff or maybe handing off, and his guy's running across the field or running down the field. That's the last thing that you want at that time. And if you don't, it comes down to trust. And if you don't, I think the one thing that Malcolm said, he's like, they gave up on me. I think he's right about that. Malcolm said that right after the game. I think they 100% lost trust in him.
Murray.
100%.
Are you doing something else over there?
No, I was just putting updating the update in terms of the
I was just wondering if you want to crack at Gasper, because you're not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah,
and I know how you feel. You feel they would have won the game if they played Butler,
right?
You do
feel that way. I know.
Let's see them shoes. What are you wearing? They new?
Nope.
What do you got on?
The usual.
I'll tell you,
Bill Belichick is the last person that would ever do anything for me. I can tell you that right now. He's no particular fan of mine.
He wasn't a fan of Olin either, but now that seems to have changed.
Oh, no, there, buddy. That's a good question, Ben. Ben, that's a good question. And, you know,
Globe Outreach Program.
Rob is an important player for us. He's out there a lot, as you said, Ben.
Do you have any tips for us, Felge?
In terms of what?
How do you make a career out of it? You know, kissing up to Bill. How's
get
it done?
Get on the boat.
How do you get on the boat?
The career kind of took off when I was kicked off the boat. It was actually better to be off the boat.
Was it really?
On the boat, for sure.
I don't know, but weren't you, when you first started going on Sports Talk Radio,
yes,
right? Weren't you still on the program? Because it allowed you to get your stories done faster and still be on the radio, correct?
Sure. Yeah, that helped. But I was also on the right side. I mean, I took Brady over Bledsoe not because Bill told me, it's because I have eyes. So it just happened.
That's a good one. Good on you. That's true.
I mean,
it just
so happened that I happened to, the things I was being told was on the right side of things, you know. But so it made it easier. It's not like I had to take an opinion that was wrong. Like, he was justified in not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. But Murray, this is for you. Do you want to take him down? You want
well,
to go
no,
for
he
him?
Sees he's all now, you know, convinced that it was the right decision. I'll go to my grave knowing that at some point in that game he should have put him in. And I know I'm with you. Look, it wasn't a good year for Malcolm Butler. That was blatantly obvious, and he was benched at times, rightfully so, because his play was poor. But when it's a sieve and you're getting shredded by a backup quarterback who's playing at a level only because he made a deal with Satan a couple of weeks prior, you have to try something different, even if you think that the player sucks and has lost it, or if you have a personal grudge against him for whatever stupid reason. So, put him in just for a couple of plays.
Here's the thing. So, again, like,
have you seen our new website, Chris?
No. What is it? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, butlerbenchingincontext.com.
Who owns that domain name?
Well, it's funny. It directs right to Patriots.com.
Got it.
Check really?
It yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Goes right to Patriots.com.
I thought maybe
yeah.
went straight to the Bill Belichick Foundation webpage. But
by the
know.
Way, if you need tips on how to suck up, I can help you with that.
Okay.
I was pretty good at that when I was talking to Patriots.
Just to answer Jim's point from my wildly unpopular minority opinion here, here's the thing. You're projecting that Butler would have made plays other guys didn't. Without allowing any plays of his own that he allowed all throughout the playoffs and has allowed all this season.
Well, that's fair.
So it's not, you know, so it's like it's, you're just looking at, like, he would have made this play and not allowed any other additional plays.
But while it's, if it's just the fourth quarter now.
Yeah.
Can you just put him in while this thing has turned into a complete sucktacular? And again, you can't stop a career backup quarterback who's playing like Joe Montana in 1989 because he made a deal with the devil himself before the NFC Championship game. It made no, like, just like, can we try something? Throw something else against the wall. Oh, I know. How about a guy who's played over 90% of the snaps on defense, even though I don't trust him anymore? Yeah. Let's put him in for one.
But why would you put that guy in the fourth quarter?
Because Johnson Padamosi is a career special teamer and sucks.
When you have the lead. You have the lead without him.
Oh, Bill's seen enough football games in his life that he knows that this is going to hell. You can't stop this offense at all in the second half. They can't get off the field on third down. Try something new.
Well, they did stop on third down on that drive. Then they couldn't stop on fourth down. They were too busy all celebrating. Then they gave up the fourth down.
The guy's made a career by putting players in the best position to win and succeed and at adjusting. And he refused to adjust.
And I think sometimes he gets lucky. Like, I thought he got lucky in Super Bowl 49 with Butler. I think he sort of tried to roll the same dice with Badamosi in Super Bowl 52, and it didn't work, which is why the guy only played 10 snaps.
But in 49, Kyle Arrington. Okay, here's a
he
guy.
He was terrible. Arrington, yeah. Chris Matthews destroyed
he did.
Him.
So here's a guy I can trust until I can't. Well, let's try something new. Oh, how about this undrafted rookie? Hey, it worked. We got a Super Bowl. So in this time, in Super Bowl 52, hey, nothing's working. What am I going to do? Whatever.
Yeah, I tried Johnson Badamosi. It doesn't work.
Chris, you know what we're doing to you?
What?
It's we're take shaming you.
Shame.
Yeah, okay.
Shame.
Your take.
Shame.
Boom.
Boom.
That's my favorite.
Get some run.
Your take stinks. Boom.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
No, it's a take shame. No, we're disappointed.
I'm very disappointed.
I'm like Cersei in Game of Thrones. We're going to have to do like the naked walk out of here.
I don't know what that means. I just know
of course, it's pop culture. You have no clue.
I just know it's take shaming. Here's the very latest on Tuukka Rask. We're back with Chris's thought on the Celtics. That's not a pretty picture either right now.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Your take stinks.
Shame.
Boo. Boo.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
So, 28-year-old Jalen. How many championships 28-year-old Jalen got?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but I said 6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say 5 or 6. Go ahead and say that.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to give it a 5. You know what I mean?
5 rings by 28.
That's what... I'm going to go with that, yeah.
So Jaylen Brown's got him winning 5 championships in the next 6 years. Meanwhile, they can barely beat Phoenix. Nice. Excellent. Excellent job, Jaylen. That's not putting the cart before the horse or anything. Good focus there. Celtics with a thrilling comeback last night. I mean, really, a ballsy, great comeback. Down 8 points with 1:30 left. Down 14 points with 3:30 left. And they force overtime and then, you know, win in overtime. So great, great comeback. But boy, that they had to struggle like that against that kind of team. Chris, what are your thoughts on the Celtics right now?
I think that they're still sort of groping for their identity and for some cohesiveness. And I think that, look, it's great that they won, but as Marcus Smart said, you know, the great teams don't wait until they're down 22 to play that way against a team like that. They just choke out a team like that from the jump. And I thought it was interesting that in the late fourth quarter down the stretch, last like 2:25 in overtime, you know, there's no Gordon Hayward there. I mean, I feel a little bit like, and I'm not putting it all on Gordon, but I think that it would be helpful for both the other guys on the team and Hayward if he were put in a situation where he could get up to speed, he could get back to the player he used to be with less spotlight and less of sort of a pressure situation of also trying to meld his talents with the other guys in the starting five. And I felt that way for a while. And I know what they're doing. I think they're taking a big picture look at it and saying, ultimately, to be the team we need to be, we need this guy. We have to get him back to the level he was at. We'll go through the growing pains. But I think it's also sort of stifling the growth of Tatum, who was terrible last night, and Jaylen Brown, and who, again, I say this every week I'm on. Every week I say this. Find me a game where Hayward and Jaylen Brown both had it going on. Hasn't happened yet.
I mean, is Hayward the kind of guy, and again, you know more about his game than I do. I didn't watch him a lot in Utah. I've seen highlights and stuff like that. But does he need the ball in his hands?
He's very good off the pick and roll. He's a good creator. When he's right, he's a good shot creator for himself and for others. You know, right now, I think he's doing a pretty good job off those pick and rolls of creating some nice ball movement for other people. I don't think he's particularly dangerous himself off of them. He looks tentative. Like when he drives the lane, every time he drives the lane, I feel like he takes an awkward Euro step, leans back to avoid any contact, and sort of throws it up.
So the reason I ask you that is if he's that kind of player, well, then how do he and Kyrie coexist? Because Kyrie's going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
But Kyrie can hunt shots off the ball, too. And I think that's ultimately what Brad's sort of thinking there, that, you know, well, we can give it to Gordon and Kyrie can hunt shots off the ball. And I think that will eventually work. But I just thought it was interesting that the offense, things seem to just run a little smoother when you subtracted him from the situation. And the other night against Indiana, I looked this up. Their worst offensive ratings in that game were with Hayward on the floor when they lost that Indiana game. Now, he bounced back against Denver, but... You know, again, even in that game, it's like, that's the other thing. Grandy said it too. Teams are going at him on the defensive end. Like TJ Warren took him to the woodshed a couple of times last night.
When you say that they took him off after 25 minutes, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
What do you mean?
Right. I mean, I didn't quite get what you meant. You know, they took him off the floor. Hayward at the end of the game. He didn't finish the game.
Yes.
I mean, I think they did that because he wants to play tonight in Utah. And ESPN just sent out the blast with the latest Gordon Hayward story of his fight back to blah, blah, blah. It's like this is about his Instagram story. He's got to play in Utah to get the video for the Instagram story and his marketing, you know, machine, which is super important to this guy. You know, I don't know if you can tell yet, but it's super important to this guy. And so his minutes are limited last night, so he's fresh tonight in Utah when what's best for the team? Like, I don't care about his Instagram story.
And so I hear you on that.
I feel like this is sort of endemic of, like, they sort of have to shoehorn him in there because of his status versus what's best for the team.
No, I think you put that very well. Yeah, I totally agree with that. That, you know, taking the social media stuff out of it. Yeah, because of his status and his contract. I mean, I would say right now, to me, it feels a little bit, you know, it's not quite as bad, but just a little bit like sort of, you know, Brad Stevens' Little League dad. Like, my son's going to play no matter what. It feels a little bit like that right now. And he's going to have a starring role no matter what, even if he's not quite ready for it or not quite healthy for it. And I think part of that is because they're taking a long-term view and they feel like we're a better team when we get Gordon back to being Gordon. But at the same time, I think it's kind of tripping them up and tripping other guys up. Like Tatum and Brown, I think their progress, their growth has been impeded a little bit here because so much of the focus is on getting Hayward right early in the season.
Luke in Vermont, you want to weigh in quickly?
Absolutely. Hayward is a major problem right now because he's not 100%. Tatum's also a major problem because he's playing selfish and entitled, and that's why I was glad he got benched last night. Big picture, he's a foundation piece. He'll be there, but it's not too late in his career to send him a wake-up call. But, Felger, do you remember when you used to tell me coaching and style of play did not matter? Well, and now we're seeing... Unless you have LeBron, style of play does matter. Brad Stevens is a guy who can fix the problems that exist.
Okay, but I don't think they're stylistic. I think they're ego, would be my guess. I mean, I don't know. Does the system stop working overnight? I mean, I don't know. Are guys not following the system? That's the issue.
I do think there is a little bit of that.
The ball's sticking. It's not moving.
Yeah, the ball is kind of sticking. It is sticking. And the one thing with Tatum, and I love Tatum, but I thought last year at times, even when his shot wasn't falling, that he gave you some other stuff. There was some defense there, some rebound. Now I feel like if he's not scoring, he's not giving you anything. You know, and I think that's sort of part of the problem. And maybe that time he spent with Kobe Bryant wasn't quite as productive as we all hoped, in terms of it might have flipped his mentality in a way that's not conducive to this particular collection of players.
You're tiptoeing around, you turn him into an a-hole.
Well, I think he turned him into somebody who's hunting his own shot all
yeah,
the time.
Selfish.
Which is what Kobe was. And a lot of the teams Kobe was on, like, that worked. But Tatum's not at that point in his career. Like, you know, there were people who were saying after last year, and even leading into this year with Kyrie on the team, that Tatum was the best player on the team. Tatum is not the best player on the team.
Thank you.
It's not even close. It's Kyrie. Right now, Kyrie Irving is the best player on the team, and it's not close. It is not Jason Tatum.
I'm telling you, every time he gets the ball, he goes one-on-one. It feels that way anyway.
Yeah, so ISO J.
Totally. Yeah, or a drive, right? Like, it's a lot of dribbling. The ball sticks. I told you, it really struck me the other night. There was a game there where he had Hayward wide open, looked at him, and didn't give him the ball. And I thought, okay, this is now a problem.
Long commercial-free segment with Gasper is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just got to get back to doing what I do, you know, playing football, you know. I know I used to play there, and, you know, I just got to pick up my performance. I don't care who I play. I just want to pick up my performance. That's all, and, yeah.
What are you feeling about your time there and just how things went?
It went great. It went great. Didn't end well. It went great. You know, those people showed me number love, and, you know, I love them back. You know, I appreciate Mr. Kraft, Bill Belichick, all those guys, you know. I already had this conversation before, so, yeah, no bad blood.
No bad blood. He got paid. He got paid. A different team that gave him his hush money, but he got his hush money. And so, no one's going to say a word. No one's going to say a word about what went down at the end here with New England. He is, really, that's Malcolm Butler in Tennessee. Very forthcoming. He did an interview. If this is Jeff Howe, I read it on The Athletic. Maybe it was Jeff Howe.
Well, Jeff's down there, I know. He's in Nashville.
So maybe it's the same
Jeff's
story.
A huge country music guy, so I'm sure he was excited about that assignment.
There you go. So whoever wrote this is a comment he gave to The Athletic. He said, you know, he's asked about what's going on there down in Tennessee, and is it the pressure and the contract and everything? He said, most definitely, the big contract, a different team, left New England on a not-so-well note, and it looks like it's carrying over, Butler told The Athletic. Everything is just, I don't know, it is what it is, it's life, I gotta keep scrapping, man, like I always do. He says, not too good, it's been not too good, Butler said. I wish it could be better, hope to get better, I know it's going to get better. I just take it for what it is. It's only up to me to change it. Nobody else can do it. I've always been the underdog, always been at the bottom coming out of slumps, so I'm looking forward to doing it again. Any chance he has a good game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance. I mean, if I were Tennessee, I'd match him up. I know this sounds kind of weird, but I'd match him up on Edelman because I think a lot of the issues he's had have been guys that are kind of, you know, going vertical on him.
Absolutely.
He's double moves, and, like, you know, Edelman's not really a vertical guy, and he doesn't necessarily, even when he goes vertical, he can get open, but at times in the past, you know, I've mentioned the catch radius isn't the greatest, you know, when he's trying to go up and get those routes down the field. So, and that's one where I could see, like, Edelman and Butler, you know, Edelman could end up trying to get extra physical with him just because he knows him. And that would make it easier for Butler, too. So,
I mean, that's what I'd do. I'd put him on Edelman, let him run side to side with him. Now, if I'm the Patriots, I combat that by running Edelman down the field. Like, you know, set him up. But that's how I would do it. I think Butler's good going side to side.
Joe in the car on Malcolm Butler. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, my problem about the thing with Butler, it was that Super Bowl. I still can't get over it. I know Belichick's a great coach and everything, but why can't we get some answers here? What is going on about that Super Bowl? Because not playing them, I said it cost them that Super Bowl, and I'm really still upset about that game. Thank you.
Okay, Joe. So I think, Chris, you're right about the balance of people. It's a huge story because they lost.
Yeah, that guy just said it. It cost them the game.
I mean, I understand that. For me, it's not. I mean, for me, there's a story there. And the story is that Bill Belichick screwed up so epically, whether it's in victory or defeat. Like, that in itself is a story.
But isn't it harder to criticize him if they win?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, for a fan, for us, it does.
Yeah, I know. It's never.
We don't need that.
Guys.
You know, we don't need that.
I know. Yeah, you guys aren't really into nuance.
Well, no, and as you said, winning's a great deodorant, so it masks a lot of stuff. But the mistake was still there.
I agree. I just think people wouldn't care about it as much, and it wouldn't be, you know, such a huge cause if they had been able to hold on to the lead.
Yeah, and as for Joe, the caller, saying, you know, well, why aren't we getting answers? I would tell you, Joe, don't you know you're just supposed to be a lemming and lap it all up? That's what you're supposed to do, Joe. You're supposed to say, in Bill, I trust. You're not supposed to question things.
Here's the answer, though. The reason we don't know is because it's embarrassing to someone. And so they've all made sure that it's not going to come out. It could be embarrassing to Bill because the reason could be really a non-reason, like no good reason. Like, you sat him for that. And that looks really bad to Bill. That's a legacy-altering kind of thing. You may have cost your team, a championship because of that, whatever that is. So it's, you know, it's harmful to Bill, or it's really bad and it's harmful to Malcolm Butler. So I think, you know, I think there's reasons there from some one side, both sides, for it not to get out.
Is it not interesting, though, that Butler would say, and look, maybe he's lying and it's something really, really bad. I don't know. I know, you know, he defended himself against some of the worst rumors on social media, so did his teammates. Yep. But when the guy comes out and says focus and performance, like, that's Butler saying focus and performance.
I think they're kind of playing to a script.
Okay.
If I had to guess,
yes.
And this happens a lot with guys on the way out the door, listen, you're not going to trash us. We're not going to trash you. I think in some cases, there's maybe even a signed agreement. I know NDAs are routine. They're in pro sports, and you all come to an agreement that there's no public acrimony on the way out the door, not from us, not from you. If you're asked, you say this. If we're asked, we say that. And that's how we're going to play this. You got your money. You are made whole. Okay? And we're all going to move on. This is how we're going to handle it. And I would not be surprised if that happened with Malcolm Butler on the way out the door. Because there has been not even a side snide comment from Bill Belichick. And you know he's good for those.
He normally is good for those.
You know, and we haven't gotten that. So I just think they're all playing by the rules that they set. What do we got? How about Billy and Taunton on the Celtics for Gasper? Hi, Billy.
Hey, guys, quickly, I just wanted to give a quick response to the people that wanted to prioritize playing the young kids over winning. Because the Celtics, I think if you want to develop kids, best do it in the playoffs. And the best way to go deep in the playoffs is to get, like, home field advantage, right? So I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, they got deep in the playoffs because of those young guys last year. And I don't think that not allowing those young guys to... I don't think that allowing
those home court was important too.
It was important, especially getting out of the first round. But those guys developing further, Tatum and Brown, it's not like you're. I think that helps you win.
Okay, so we had a previous caller who said that all those all the minutes and shots that Marcus Morris is getting, is hurting some of those kids.
You know,
I mean, what are you going for here?
I don't think that's the case. Marcus Morris was kind of doing the same thing last year. He was great last night. Obviously, he hit that three. I would like to see Marcus Morris in the starting lineup because I think he could help them space the floor better. And if they're just going to say, hey, Marcus, you know, just stand over there, like set some screens and then stand over there and shoot these open threes, like he would do that. And I think it would help their spacing a lot. And he's not someone that needs to really handle the ball to score.
All right. Give me 60 seconds on Pat's Titans. Who do you like?
I like the Patriots in this game. I don't think the Titans have an explosive enough offense, particularly at wide receiver. The guys like Taywan Taylor, you know, Corey Davis is okay. Tajay Shaw, UMass product. I just don't think that they have a dynamic enough attack and enough guys. I like Deion Lewis, but I don't think they have enough guys to really make the Patriots pay and really threaten the Patriots. So that's why I like the Patriots in this game. And also, I think as good as their defense has been, and it's been really good, I mean, best in the league points per game and great in the red zone and all that, I think that the Patriots will be able to make some plays down the field on them. Josh Gordon, I think, could have a big game, and if Gronk's back too.
All right, Gasper, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good to see you guys.
And I do like it's nice. It's a good look on you. Or is it the shoes?
Both. You can get a lot with a Saks Fifth Avenue gift card.
Oh, I like the scarf. That's what I like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Did it come with a pocket square?
See you next Friday, Gasper. No commercials, just an update. The latest on Tuukka Rask. It was breaking news today on the Bruins and their goalie, Jim Murray, is going to give it to you here. And we're back to discuss here on an agenda-free Friday.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.